Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department of the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. The podcast where we navigate the ever-shifting landscape of federal procurement and fiscal law. I'm Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Major Jason Floyd. Together, we're your co-hosts. And today, we're going to dive into the Revolutionary FAR Overhaul, or RFO. Specifically, we're tackling FAR Part 7, Acquisition Planning. Now, Ellie, I've been using the old FAR Part 7 for years. Tell me, please, that I do not have to relearn everything.
Well, Jason, you don't have to relearn the purpose of planning, but the structure has definitely evolved. The big thing here is strategic evolution. The RFO is moving away from prescriptive check-the-box lists and shifting toward a more agile, dynamic planning process.
Dynamic sounds like code for I don't know exactly where to find my checklist. For instance, I'm looking at the new subpart 7.1 in section 7.105, the contents of written acquisition plans, and now it just says reserved.
That is the biggest structural change. Section 7.105 was removed from the regulatory text and moved to non-regulatory resources like the FAR Companion Guide and Practitioner Albums. The idea is to keep the FAR itself focused on high-level policies and procedures while moving those best practices lists and innovation techniques to the companion.
So remind me, if it's in the companion, is it binding upon me and the KO?
So not really. The companion contains best practices, like using oral acquisition plans for simpler buys or developing a needs statement to align with organizational goals. However, the FAR itself still mandates that agencies perform planning for all acquisitions and establish their own procedures for when a written or oral plan is required. Notably, 7.102D still requires a written plan for cost reimbursement and other high-risk contracts.
Well, that makes sense. So what about the stuff that just disappeared? I noticed subpart 7.3 is also now entirely reserved.
Subpart 7.3, which covered contractor versus government performance, the old A76 competitions, has completely been deleted. Congress has had a statutory hold on those competitions since 2008, so the RFO team decided it was redundant and unnecessary to keep it in the active FAR. Along with that, provisions like 52.207-1-2 and -3 were also removed.
Fantastic. That's a lot of house cleaning. What about section 7.204, which was responsibility of contracting officers? I used to use that for economic purchase quantities.
That's another deletion, but for different reasons. The content of 7.204 was determined to be redundant because it's already covered in the solicitation provisions 52.207-4.
Okay, so those are the major cuts. What about rewording things or changing language to make things more modern?
Exactly. One of my favorite small changes is in section 7.108. They finally updated the terminology from telecommuting to teleworking. So I don't feel like it's, you know, the Jetsons anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It always felt like you were like jumping in the telephone wires.
Star Trek, right? You know, beam me up, Scotty.
That's right, yeah.
Also, the very first section, the scope in 7.000A was revised from just developing acquisition plans to acquisition planning and developing acquisition plans. It's a subtle shift to show that the planning is a whole process, not just the document anymore.
Cool. Well, let's talk about my favorite topics, consolidation and bundling. In the old FAR, these were treated like two different things with their own separate sections for analysis. It was always a headache, though, to keep which one was which straight. So did the RFO touch those?
It did more than touch them. It unified them.
Whoa.
Yes. So the RFO team realized that having separate disjointed requirements for consolidation, bundling, and substantial bundling was confusing the workforce. So they combined and standardized the analysis and notification process into a single cohesive framework under Section 7.107.
Sounds fantastic. So does that mean that the rules for small business protection have changed, though?
The core protections are still there, but the process is cleaner. Now, whether you are consolidating or bundling, the preliminary steps are standardized. You must conduct market research, identify alternative approaches that involve a lesser degree of consolidation, and coordinate with your OSDBU or small business office early in the game. They even pulled in market research requirements that used to be in FAR Part 10 to make sure small business concerns are the priority from day one.
Oh, nice. Okay. That does seem to make more sense. We'll see how it plays out in practice, though. I do remember there were some specific dollar thresholds for written determinations. Did those survive?
Most of them did. You still need a written determination for consolidation requirements above $2 million and for all bundling requirements. For substantial bundling, the thresholds are still tiered at $8 million for the DOW, $6 million for NASA, GSA, and Energy, and $2.5 million for everyone else.
I feel like those got raised pretty good. What about the substantial benefits part of the test? I always had to prove the government was saving a certain percentage to justify.
That is still the gold standard for justification. To be necessary and justified, the benefits must substantially exceed the benefits of separate contracts. The math hasn't changed. If the contract is $94 million or less, you're looking for benefits equal to 10% of the value. If it's over $94 million, it's 5% or $9.4 million, whichever is greater. And remember, Jason, you can't just claim you're saving on administrative or personal costs unless those savings themselves hit that 10% mark.
Good to know. So what about contractors, though? If I'm bundling a requirement that currently has small business incumbents, what do I owe to them?
Transparency is huge in the RFO. You have to notify those small business incumbents at least 30 days before you even issue the solicitation. Plus, the agency now has to publish a notice of the necessary and justified determination in the GPE no later than 7 days after making it. And here's the kicker for accountability. Agencies now have to post an annual list on their website of every consolidated or bundled requirement they awarded, along with the rationale.
Oh man, okay. That's a big one.
Yeah. It's about making the impact on small businesses clear and consistent across the board. Even the solicitation provision, 52.207-6, stayed exactly the same to keep things simple.
Speaking of simplicity, are there any clauses that I don't have to worry about changing?
A few big ones were retained with no changes to their text. So 52.207-4, economic purchase quantity, -5, option to purchase equipment, and then -6 regarding small business teaming.
Cool. Well, what's going on with the DFARS? I saw a new class deviation memo for part 207.
Yeah, so for the DOW side, they've leaned into using the PGI, or Procedures, Guidance, and Information, more. Section 207.104B now specifically tells planners to follow the procedures at PGI 207.104.
What about written plans? Do we still have specific dollar thresholds for those listed in the DFARS?
Yes. Those were retained in DFARS 207.103-70. You still need a written plan for development programs over $10 million and production or service programs over $50 million total, or $25 million in a single fiscal year.
Well, that's a relief. So less prescriptive checklist and more like strategic flexibility. And then check the FAR companion for the how-to, and the PGI is always the same, right?
Yeah, that's spot on. It's all about starting It's all about starting planning as soon as need is identified, not just when you get the funding, and treating your plan as a living document. So they've really taken a lot of those how-tos, best decisions, those checklists, they've put them in the FAR companion or the PGI. So the information's still there. You just might have to go there to find it, but now you don't have to follow it. It's more of a guide.
Fantastic. Well, I'll go update my bookmarks then in Internet Explorer, Ellie.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of Far and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General for the Department of the Army, Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.